Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 21. Text number 23. Pala shutiriyam rinam nasheya ruchanam param shriho vivakshaya praptam idhavasajya ruchanam Shutiriyam Rinam Nashriya Rojanam Param Shriho Vishvakshaya Praktam Yadha Vaisajya Rojanam Falashutir. The statements of scripture promising rewards. Iham, these. Rinam, for men. Na, are not. Sheyaha, the highest good. Karuchanam, enticement. Param, merely. Sheyaha, the ultimate good. Vivakshayaha, with the idea of saying. Proktam, spoken. Yata, just as. Vaisajya, for taking medicine. Rochanam, inducement. Translation. Those statements of scripture promising fruit of rewards do not prescribe the ultimate good for men, but are merely enticements for executing beneficial religious duties. Like promises of candy spoken to induce a child to take beneficial medicine. Purport. In the previous verse, Lord Krishna stated that persons absorbed in sense gratification certainly deviate from the real purpose of human life. But since the Vedas themselves promise heavenly sense gratification as the result of sacrifice and austerity, how can such promotion to heaven be considered a deviation from the goal of life? The Lord here explains that the fruit of rewards offered in religious scriptures are merely inducements, like candy that is used to induce a child to take medicine. It is actually the medicine that is beneficial and not the candy. Similarly, in fruit of sacrifices, it is the worship of Lord Vishnu that is beneficial, not the fruit of reward itself. According to Bhagavad Gita, those professing fruit of rewards to be the ultimate goal of religious scripture are certainly less intelligent fools, inimical to the purpose of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord desires that all conditioned souls be purified and come back home, back to Godhead, for an eternal life of bliss and knowledge. One who opposes the Lord's purpose in the name of religiosity is certainly bewildered about the purpose of life.
Palashutiriyam ninam nasya rochanam param shriyo vivakshaya proktam itha vaisajya rochanam.
Those statements of scripture promising fruit of rewards do not prescribe the ultimate goal, good for men, but merely enticements for executing beneficial religious duties, like promises of candy spoken to induce a child to take beneficial medicine.
Om Agyantam Nandrasa Janandana Salakya Chaksuram Miditandina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha.
So here in this verse, a confidential secret is revealed. These verses, generally people don't read the Srimad Bhagavatam. They read various Vedic literatures which help them to get promotion to the heavenly planets, or you know, they like to understand different religious ceremonies which help them to have a good husband, good wife, good children, good bank balance, and to free them from reaction. So generally people don't read these sections of the scriptures. So these verses here are tucked away, confidential, and generally people don't hear. Just like a magician, for the vast majority of people, the tricks of a magician are not known. But you know, a few, you know, the information is there. You know, how did that person do that? I remember when I was in India, in Mahabali Purnam, and a little coastal village, from what I remember. And we stayed, travelling with the devotees, we stayed in these sort of mud and grass huts. And the people brought in some magicians to entertain the devotees. And I would have to say, you know, the Indian magicians, you know, a class of their own. They're very, very, very good. Very, very good. And of course, they didn't have long sleeves or cloaks or anything to hide things, but they were just, you know, their sleight of hand and the way they made things appear and disappear was just absolutely brilliant. so, for the majority, 99% of people will never know how they do those tricks. But it is just a trick. That's all it is. It's just a trick. Just like they have the disappearing toothpick. You know, you hold a toothpick in your hand, and they stick it to the back of their thumb. So when they pull their thumb down, it just sort of just a little flick of their thumb, it actually disappears very quickly behind the thumb. Like when they put their thumb up, it sort of disappears. So it looks like within 1 second it's gone. And then, you know, next second it's 1 second it's there, next second it's gone. But it's just sticky tape to the back of the thumb. That's just very easy. But if you don't know how they're doing it, it is then it looks like magic. It looks like something wonderful. So here also, this knowledge is available, but very few people, you know, ever come across this sort of knowledge. Just like most people are more happy to be entertained by the magician rather than investigate, now how did he do that? You know, most people are just, they like the entertainment. Oh, that was wonderful, we had a really good time. Gee, you know, how's it like that? But, you know, they're not going to follow those magicians and ask them, you know, learn their trade secrets. So here also, very simple and plain truth, and yet not known to anyone except the confidential devotees of the Lord who read the Srimad Bhagavatam. And even amongst the devotees of the Lord who read the Srimad Bhagavatam, I know there are many devotees that sometimes don't get past the first first and second cantos even after many, many years. But here, you know, it is stating Krishna's trick behind all the Vedic literatures. What is that trick? Krishna's trick is this, that he is offering candy-coated medicine. And all of the Vedas, the vast majority, is the candy coating. And people, the vast majority of people who follow religious scriptures, whether it be the Vedas or any other scripture, cannot identify, they cannot distinguish the medicine from the candy. So what is the medicine? What is the candy? That's what we have to look at. To understand that, we have to understand what the illness is. So what is the disease we're trying to cure? What is the disease the Vedas are trying to cure?
Forgetfulness of Krishna.
Forgetfulness of Krishna, yes. Identifying with the body, and of course when we identify with the body, the symptoms of our disease is that we have to suffer birth, death, old age and disease. So these are an impure condition, or you know, when we speak of a disease, we talk about an impure or a contaminated state of being, not our healthy, pure, natural state of being. So from the you know, there is an infection or a fever, so these things are impurities that have, you know, they enter the material body and they cause all sorts of symptoms. So the infection, the contamination, is that we are trying to enjoy sense gratification, trying to enjoy the material senses, while identifying ourselves with those senses, with the body, in the material world. That is our difficulty. And the problems that creates is that we have to take birth repeatedly in all different species of life. 8,400,000 different species of life. It's not pleasant to think of, but if we consider it, you know, there's a high probability that most of us here, you know, have gone through all the different species of life, perhaps many, many times. Now, we can't remember being a fly, or you know, a bug, or a snail, or a cat. We can't remember that, or a fish. A little mouse, but actually we've had to take birth and, you know, in so many different species of life, and there's a possibility, especially for myself, that we may have to, you know, take birth again in different species of life. We see that even Bharat Maharaj, who was actually a very elevated spiritualist, had to take birth as a deer. And as Prabhupada points out, even many of the turtles in the Jamuna and the Radha Kund, they're fallen sannyasis, monkeys in Vrindavan, they were previously sadhus who didn't follow properly, committed some grave offences. that's a real problem, that we don't want to we don't want that to happen again. You know, if we get a show of hands, all those who are looking forward to after this life, to again taking birth in this material world, taking their chances where and, you know, which womb, what type of womb they will be born in. Let's have a show of hands, all those. No. Okay, so we'll say that it is a unanimous decision that it's a big problem. Who's looking forward to dying? Show of hands. It's not like if we yell out for Shardam, there's a, you know, stampede upstairs. We say, up, oh, you got the Grim Reapers upstairs. Quick, up the stairs. Everyone run the other way. Who's looking forward to old age? Because I'm already there. You know, I know the last few days I've been a little bit ill. I usually fly up those stairs, and now I just wonder if I can get up there at all. You know, just by the time I get to the top stairs, the legs are so. And what have we left there? Disease. Who's looking forward to their next bout of serious illness? We, you know, mucus filling your brain, your head, splitting headache, body is aching from head to foot, you barely get out of bed. So these are real problems. These are real problems. So that's the disease, is that we are in the cycle of birth and death. Birth, death, old age and disease. That is the material disease. And that is an impure condition for the spirit soul, because the spirit soul is actually Satchitananda, eternal. So the soul is eternal. It never has to take birth and death. So why should it? There's no reason why the spirit soul, there is nothing, to force the spirit soul to take birth and death, except when the spirit soul misuses its own independence and decides to try and enjoy in the material world and accepts, yes, I will go through birth and death as long as I can enjoy sense gratification in the material world. There's no need for the spirit soul to ever, you know, suffer illness or old age. So we see that on the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna, who was, you know, a great-grandfather, you know, with his family members, somewhere near a billion, and he still looked like a, you know, a young boy of a, you know, like a teenager. Actually, he looked better than our teenagers of today. A lot of the teenagers of today, you know, they're black, puffy under the eyes, lack of sleep, you know, all sorts of medication, intoxication, bad diet, like that. So Krishna didn't look like one of our teenagers of today. He looked like a real beautiful teenager. So that is the nature of the spirit soul. And everyone in the spiritual world, of course, Krishna plays with his friends. And they also, you know, they're like Krishna. They're just ever fresh, ever youthful. You never read in the Krishna book that, you know, Krishna comes out to go to the forest and some of his friends say, oh, I cannot go to play today, I'm sick. Yeah. Or they, you know, they come back from the forest with a broken leg. So the spiritual world, the spirit soul, so the real problem is this mature body. That is a disease, that is a contaminated state of life, and there's no need for us to accept that. So what is the medicine? Then we can identify the medicine. The medicine is to treat the bring down the fever of the fever is this desire to enjoy sense gratification, material pleasure, sense pleasure in the material world. There is a passion, a strong desire, a fever that burns, is like a fire that burns at the heart. So we have to bring this fever right down to nil until there's not a trace of it left, and there's not even a single fragment of that illness, that there is no more interest in enjoying anything in the material world. Then that brings down the disease. That then the disease is cured. As with most diseases, if you don't cure them properly, but you allow some traces of the illness to remain within the body, then it can flare up again, especially if there is, as there is in the material world, you know, huge amounts of chance for reinfection or inflaming the illness. So the difficulty, of course, and especially in Kali Yuga, if there is, and this is described in the Bhagavad Gita, that even one of the senses, so we may control so many of our senses, but one of them, so we decide, yes, you know, I'm doing everything nicely, controlling, regulating the senses, but I love this, you know, rock and roll. So just one of the senses. Next thing, you know, we're listening to the rock and roll, and then there's the beautiful voice of that woman or that man, you know. And then by hearing the beautiful voice of that opposite sex, then the form of the opposite sex also enters within our mind. And then again the desire to enjoy, like this. So just any of the senses. So we have to remove all traces of illness. Therefore, of course, we can't stop the senses from acting. That is impossible. Krishna doesn't recommend that, and Arjuna also confirms that it is not possible. And not only can we not stop the senses and the mind from acting, but there is actually certain requirements where we must engage the senses and the mind in order to maintain the material body. We must keep healthy and fit. There must be self-preservation. You know, one must keep one's body nicely tuned and healthy and well preserved. And one must also keep the mind well preserved. If we don't exercise our mind, it becomes very lazy and very dull. We see with the modern state of children is that there is a certain dullness which is creeping in to our modern generation because they don't get the same exercise of their mind as previously. Previously, we see with Krishna and his cowherd boys showing the natural way of life, that every day they would go out into the forest. And they would, even though they were, you know, between 5 and 10 years old, they would take, you know, the calves and, of course, later the cows. And so they had a responsibility. They were doing some work, but it was very enjoyable. And they would play and investigate the forest and, you know, observe nature and all the beautiful creatures of nature. And they would invent so many different games. So, you know, football, they came from Krishna. They used to kick around some fruit type thing.
Fruit,
yeah, Football, because now everyone's into soccer as if it's some new invention. Football came from Krishna. Chess came from Krishna. Snakes and ladders. You know, all of these different things. Dice. Dressing up. You know, leapfrog. There's so many different games. So many different water sports. We have our Olympics and Commonwealth Games. Actually, all came from Krishna. But there was no money involved. No big money, no big medals. The prize was doing it with Krishna, with God. That was the prize. And so that, you know, at the end of the day, of course, the children come home, their bodies fit and healthy, they've been active all day, their minds are alert and stimulated, they're happy, and they come home and they have some nice foods cooked by their mothers, like this. And you know, they put the cows away and milk the cows. And a very natural way of life. Now, what we have, you know, the children go to school and they're not so much taught to think but to remember certain facts which have very little relevance, which don't really stimulate their imagination. Very early on, children lose interest in school because nothing stimulates them. I remember with my one of my daughters who was she was in the fourth year of high school, and every year she got worse and worse. She was failing and she was at the point of being expelled. She shot the teacher in the backside with an arrow when they were doing sports, just, you know, because the lack of stimulation, they just turned to other things. So anyway, I had to go up there and talk the teachers out of expelling her, which they did. They were going to give her one last chance. So she's failing, you know, she got a bad reputation. So she said, "Dad, you know, can you do an astrology reading for me?" So I had a look and I said, "Well, from what I see, you're a scholar. You're an eternal student, someone who's always learning." She said, "Dad, I'm failing. You know, I don't even know if I can last another couple of weeks, let alone the end of the year." And I'm looking at her chart, seeing what I'm seeing, and telling, and neither of us could understand. I said, "The only thing I can put it down to is that you have not found something that interests you." So she thought about it for a bit, and then she decided, "I think I'd like to be a nurse." So then, when she made that decision, because she really wanted to, she, you know, it was something that actually interested her. By the end of that year, she was an A student, and she finished, you know, secondary school with, you know, honours. And even today, you know, when I go to Dramana, you know, if you run into the teachers, they say, "Oh my," you know, what's that? "She's such a nice girl. She was such a nice student." That is. So, you know, this problem of lack of stimulation, you know, is very destructive to the children. Therefore, we have so many, so much intoxication. You know, instead of being into their education, they just want to, you know, very too early, they're just thinking about boys and girlfriends and, you know, this and that and drugs and everything, because there's no stimulation. But the life of Krishna, because they kept their body and mind fit and healthy, that is the, you know, that is the proper way of life, as shown by Krishna. So we shouldn't stop the senses. We can't stop the sensual activities, and nor should we, because we have to keep the body and mind fit and healthy. But in preserving the body and the mind in peak condition, then what do we use that for? We use that for realizing our eternal spiritual nature, and realizing our eternal spiritual relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and realizing how to act on that relationship expertly, so that in the shortest amount of time, with a guarantee of perfection in this lifetime, with our full, you know, vigor and mental alertness being put into that endeavor, we can then guarantee that yes, we will go back to the spiritual world at the end of this lifetime. So that and that very activity, one who is deeply absorbed in that activity, of course, then, you know, automatically being absorbed in something so stimulating, so rewarding, with such eternal benefits, something which produces happiness in this life and the next, automatically desires for sense gratification, the sense of enjoying the material world, that automatically just becomes, you know, that fever just reduces proportionately down to zero. So that's the as mentioned in the Vedic scriptures, and as mentioned by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he says, I have brought the medicine, and that is the chanting of the holy names, chanting of the glories of the Lord's form, qualities and pastimes. I have brought that medicine, so you just take that medicine like that and be happy and go back to the spiritual world. So that is the medicine Lord Chaitanya is saying, to treat the disease. So, but all the injunctions of the Vedas, that's the candy to somehow get us to take that medicine. In order to be attracted and back to the spiritual world, we have to be thinking about the spiritual world, speaking about the Supreme Lord, developing our love for the Supreme Lord, developing that attachment to the Supreme Lord, developing that attraction to the Lord and his associates in the spiritual world. We can't be attracted to something if we don't even know what it is. Just like, you know, when someone is buying a car, inquire about, you know, what's on option. And they hear that, you know, this one has four-wheel drive, and this one has front-wheel drive, and this one has, you know, this sort of interior, and this one has, a six-stack CD or whatever like that. And, they inquire and people are very interested. You know, these days, you know, you talk to people about cars, and they'll tell you, the 2002 model had, you know, tail lights were like this, but, you know, the 2003, they just made this little tweak and, you know, like this, and, you know, but the 2004, there's just this other little change. You know, they can tell you about the grille and the tail lights, and, you know, all the different features of the car, and, you know, the fuel injection system. But if you ask them about the spiritual world, I don't know nothing. So, of course, if people look into cars and yes, and they see that this one has so many wonderful features, that's what I'm attracted to. I'm becoming very attached to this particular car. I want that car. I'm going to work hard and get that car. So similarly, in order to be attracted to going back to the spiritual world, you have to hear and chant and meditate and try and understand what are the features of the spiritual world, what is the nature of the Supreme Lord, what is the nature of that relationship. And as soon as you begin to look into it, immediately you become attracted. So just like in the beginning of the class, we were talking about all the attractive features in the material world. Oh, birth and death and old age and disease. Woohoo! But the spiritual world, well, all that has is eternal life. you know, full of bliss and knowledge. So if we actually, you know, even just with a brief glance at the difference, the features, the attractive features, what to speak is, if someone makes it, you know, seriously looks into it, thinks about it, meditates upon it, researches it, you'll definitely be attracted. That's the medicine. Somehow or another, attract yourself back to the spiritual world. That's the medicine. So, and that is done. First, we chant the holy names of the Lord, because by chanting, we see that the Supreme Lord's name is non-different from Him. And that's very attractive. That's wonderful that we can associate with the most powerful person in all of existence within a second if we want to. And that most powerful, beautiful, intelligent, playful, loving, compassionate person is prepared to reciprocate with us within a second, and that is experienced immediately by chanting His holy name. So then, you know, we get a taste of the holy name, and then we understand, yes, Krishna is absolute, and gradually our appreciation of the Supreme Lord's form and qualities, personality, activities, all of these things attract our minds more and more. So all the rest of the injunctions within the Vedas, everything else is the candy meant to give us that medicine. But if we never take that medicine and just take the candy, oh, I am performing this religious ceremony for this purpose, and this religious ceremony for this material blessing, and I'm chanting this mantra for this protection, and never ever absorb ourselves in the attractive features of the Supreme Lord, then we're just taking the candy without the medicine. And there's actually no value. You may as well just eat candy. You know, and of course, you eat too much candy, you get sick. So, this is the confidential teachings of the Vedas. And somehow or another, although speaking for myself, very fallen, insignificant person, and yet by the grace of the Lord, you know, we have this opportunity to hear this very confidential. You know. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he would you know, often speak about some of the confidential instructions that his spiritual master gave him, that Srila Prabhupada explained to him that some of many of his Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was told Srila Prabhupada that he feared that many of his disciples were after the benefits, even of Krishna consciousness, more so than having that mood of spreading the glories of the name and form of the Lord, absorbing themselves in that personally, and spreading the name and form of the glories of the Lord for others. And he feared that when he departed from this world, that they would simply fight over position and possession, what have you. So he told that very, very confidential information to Srila Prabhupada. Because Srila Prabhupada always felt that that was a particularly, you know, it was a sign of the intimate relationship that he had with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. You know, and we know that in any relationship, of course, that when the closer you are, more intimately tied with a person, you can speak very confidentially. Very, very confidentially. And all others, 99% of others, very, you know, hi, how's it going? It's a wonderful day, what you doing? Yeah, like this. But there's a few that you can speak to and you can just really confide in them. Things that you wouldn't discuss with anyone else. Because they're, you know, for one reason or another, they may be sensitive issues to yourself or to the society at large. So here, you know, this information is like that. It's very, very confidential. So somehow or another we have all had that opportunity to hear that. And of course, generally if someone reveals something very confidential to you, you should reciprocate that. You know, and especially when that person is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we should be very humbled. That, you know, who am I to be, you know, receiving confidential information from the Supreme Personality of Godhead? What is my position? I am, you know, my past lives I was probably a snail. Now, you know, here I am hearing this confident, you know, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is speaking this confidential information. And you can go around to the billions of people on this planet and you will find they will not understand this point. But if you have understood it this morning, then that is a sign of the intimate, loving relationship that the Supreme Lord has with us. And we should reciprocate with that by acknowledging it, taking the medicine of Krishna consciousness, and giving up all sorts of pretentious religious practices, and at the same time, while giving candy-coated medicine to the general people, we should always make sure that there's a good dose of the real medicine within that. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If anyone has any comments or questions.
One comment. As you said, most of the gifts have come from Krishna. Like, you know, Kavarti, they used to carry on the shoulder. The person who wins the game,
yes,
used to carry the curse.
Yes.
And they marvels, you know, marvels.
Yes.
And also, we used to play Gilli Danda. We had a stick.
Yeah.
We make a hole in the ground.
Yes.
And a wooden, you know, thing. And we used to throw it like this.
Yes.
And
yeah, golf.
Most of the gifts have come from Krishna.
Yes, they've all come from Krishna.
Now, one question is, how to absorb Krishna in such a way that we can always remember him? Your experience, how to, besides chanting, what are the other ways to remember him all the time? Like you said, 24 hours we can remember.
Yeah. Well, the first thing is chanting. Because there's a statement in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, that you know, to absorb the mind, we first have to hear, you know, very intently and inquire. But to have that sort of purification of the mind, our activities have to be pure. And for our activities to be pure, we have to be pure in our eating, sleeping, mating and defending. So that is why Srila Prabhupada gave us the program that you follow the four regular principles: no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling, no eating meat. That keeps our you know, activities of eating, sleeping, mating and defending very purified. Then our mind can become purified. And when our mind is purified, then we can hear and chant with great absorption, and we can remain fixed in that samadhi of hearing and chanting, you know, throughout the course of the day. But if our mind is impure, We will have difficulty, thinking of Krishna even while sitting in a Srimad Bhagavatam class. And sometimes you see that. Sometimes people even sit within the Srimad Bhagavatam class, and you know their minds can be somewhere else, and they can fail to absorb any of it. Sometimes, and you know, even while chanting, you know, we can be thinking of all anything but Krishna. And that is because our activities need to be purified, and then our mind is purified. And then if we chant Hare Krishna, then by that good chanting, good quality rounds, 16 good rounds, 16 rounds, you sit there and you really fix your mind on the sound vibration, intently, intensely meditating upon that sound, Krishna is so pleased by that that he reveals everything else. He reveals his form, he reveals his qualities, his pastimes, he reveals the relationship, the everything is revealed. But if we can't chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we will never actually progress to the point of being able to, you know, fix our minds on the form of the Lord, even for short periods of time. You know, and we will not understand the qualities of the Lord, and we will definitely never be able to enter into the pastimes of the Lord. So actually by chanting Hare Krishna, everything else comes. Guru Kishore Das Babaji said that everything there, everything is within the holy name. Within the holy name of the Lord is the Lord's form, qualities, paraphernalia, pastimes, associates. Everything is there in the holy name. Krishna is absolute. So Krishna's holy name is not different from his form, from his qualities. So it's not that we think I'm chanting the holy name, but I want something different. I want to understand the pastime. That is there. So if we realize the holy name, gradually you will fully realize that yes, and the form is also there in the holy name, and the quality, everything. So everything. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said we should chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And we should do that nicely by following, you know, the regulative principles. And then if we do that, then very easy, by the grace of the spiritual energy, because we pray, you know, Hare Krishna, that means Srimati Radharani, she gives her, by the force of the spiritual energy, you cannot help but think of Krishna. If we are under the shelter of the material energy, you cannot help but think of Maya for sense gratification. You are forced. And as soon as you have shelter of Srimati Radharani, you can almost not help to think of Krishna. Krishna will push you, pull you towards him, and make so many arrangements, very difficult for you to get away and to think of something else. And then what happens, of course, devotees sometimes pray like that. Let me always think of Krishna. And then when Krishna gives that opportunity, they think, oh, I can't get anything else done. I'm always thinking of Krishna. But again, you know, these, the blessings that we get from Krishna, we should always try and reciprocate with, because they're very special. So, all goes to Prabhupada.